Charles Dickens is a famous poet and author, and he has written many things, and there's some famous quotes that he has given throughout the age that he has written that have been quoted throughout the last few decades. One of the quotes that Charles Dickens wrote was this: "Reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has plenty, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some." So the point Charles Dickens was making was, please don't reflect on what you're going through now, your misfortunes and the misfortunes of the past, but reflect on your present blessings. And that quote is so true, because we do have things that we run up against in our trials, the things that come along in our life. And sometimes we want to reflect too much on those and not on the blessings that we have presently in our life. Reflecting upon, or we, as we put it in the church, counting our blessings, is a positive, helpful, and constructive way to focus our godly walk and build our relationship with our God. Counting our physical blessings is one way to keep the focus, but even more important is to count our special spiritual blessings. Please turn with me to Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. And if you recall, in the last sermon that I gave, we talked about blessings, especially around Thanksgiving time and counting our blessings. And we looked at Psalm chapter 23, the famous psalm, "The Lord who is my shepherd." And we looked at a couple scriptures, specifically the phrases, "You prepare a table," which is symbolic of God hosting a banquet in the blessings that he gives to us. And even the phrase, "My cup runs over," which is symbolic of the abundance, the physical blessings that God does give to us. But then we come into Psalm chapter 24, and we begin to see something that focuses our attention on the spiritual blessings. Psalm chapter 24, and we'll be reading verses 3 through 6. Psalm chapter 24, verse number 3. "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord?" We have a couple questions posed here. And also, "Who may stand in his holy place?" In other words, who can go before the presence of our Almighty God? The answer we find in verse number 4. "He who has clean hands and a pure heart." Clean hands and a pure heart. Today's English version reads, "pure in action and thought." In other words, the things that we do and how we think. That's who can stand before God. Continuing on, also, "who has not lifted up his soul to an idol." In other words, one can stand in the presence of God who worships the true God and not any false god. Also, the last part of verse number 4, "the one who has not sworn deceitfully." And for what we would call this, one who's pure in action and thought, one who does not worship idols or swear deceitfully, one who walks with integrity, who walks with God. And the one that does walk with God, we find the blessing that he receives in verse number 5. "He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Righteousness is a reward. Righteousness like God is righteous. To be like God, to eventually be a part of the family of God, that's the blessing, the reward for one who walks with God. Verse number 6. "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." Notice it's repeated, seeking God twice here, seeking him and seeking his face. The New International Version of verse 6 reads like this: "Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob." So the emphasis is on seeking God and walking with God, to be in the very presence of God. And one will receive the blessing from the Creator of all. The phrase here, "to seek him," is an expression of a sincere desire to live according to God's standards. so as to be able to live in the presence of His face. It's a very special blessing. Did you know that there's one book in the Bible that talks about the special blessings of the servants, of those who fear Him, are faithful to Him, and walk with Him? Those special blessings are found in the book of Revelation. The title of today's sermon is The Seven Blessings of Revelation. The Seven Blessings of Revelation. Today we are going to examine the seven blessings found in the book of Revelation. The seven blessings are special blessings directed towards God's servants, those that overcome and walk with God in Christ. In the first book of the New Testament, we talked about this in the last sermon, when Jesus Christ called the disciples to follow Him. He went to some of the fishermen and He began to call them in chapter 4 of Matthew. Then in chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 5 of Matthew, we find that He began to teach those disciples that had begun to follow Him. In those very first teachings that He gave to the disciples, we call the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes are the blessings. And He told them that they'd have certain blessings for walking righteously with Him and God. For instance, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness would be blessed. The peacemakers would be blessed. The meek, etc. That's in the very first book of the New Testament, the blessings of a follower of Christ. Then when we come to the very final book of the New Testament, we find the summarization of the blessings of those who make their walk with God. This is a two-part sermon on blessings. In part one, we focused on the physical blessings that God gives to us around Thanksgiving time, the abundance that God gives to us, and to be thankful for those blessings. And we also touched on some of the spiritual blessings that God gives to us as well. But today's message will focus mainly on the spiritual blessings that God gives to us. These are certain blessings that go beyond the physical blessings, the abundance that God gives to us in our lives, but blessings that correspond to our walk with God in following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. These are special blessings that God gives to us for doing the things that He wants us to do and for heeding His warnings and admonitions. And these blessings lead to the ultimate blessing of all when we walk with God. And that's to be a part of His family and to live forever in the kingdom of God. So let's go through and examine the seven blessings of Revelation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. And I'd like to encourage you to put a marker in this section of Scripture in Revelation if you have one, because we'll be turning back and forth to other Scriptures during this message today. Revelation chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Revelation means to reveal and to open to understanding what could not otherwise be understood. And we realize it's Jesus Christ is the one who unlocks the symbols and the vision of this particular book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants. So here we see that this particular revelation, this vision, was given from God to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ was giving it to John, who would show it to God's servants. Continuing on, things which must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. So God gave the revelation to Christ, and He by His angel gave it to John to make known to His servants all the things that he saw in this particular vision. Now before we get into these seven special blessings in the book of Revelation, let me give you a little bit of background information to the seven blessings. First of all, the book of Revelation is organized according to a pattern of sevens. It's organized according to a pattern of sevens. You know, we talk about we read about in chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches, the seven church eras and the seven churches that received the message from Jesus Christ. We also can find the seven trumpets, the seven last plagues, etc. It's organized into a pattern of sevens. And the number seven abounds in symbolic use associated with God's chosen people. So the number seven is symbolic, and it has significance to God's chosen people. The number seven itself signifies completeness. Signifies completeness. And seven is the most significant symbolic number in the Bible. It's found in almost 600 passages. So almost 600 passages we find the number seven, which of course signifies completeness. And although the number seven is symbolic, it also has real, literal fulfillment. And we can find that in the pages of the Bible. For instance, you know the story of Joseph, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery in Egypt, where eventually he wound up in prison. And while Joseph was in prison, Pharaoh of Egypt had this dream. And remember the dream that Pharaoh had. He had this dream of seven skinny cows and seven fat cows. And nobody could interpret this dream that Pharaoh had, and he was troubled by it. And finally, somebody said, there's this man that's in prison that can interpret your dream. And of course, it was Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dream saying that it's symbolic. These seven skinny cows represent 7 years of lean times where there won't be much to eat. And the seven fat cows represent 7 years of plenty. And then when Pharaoh found this out, he made Joseph the governor of Egypt and put him in charge of preparing for the seven lean years, symbolic by the seven cows. So, literal fulfillment that we can read about in the Bible. We find also the phrase, this prophecy, or the prophecy, occurs seven times also in the book of Revelation. This prophecy, or the prophecy, seven times as well. So going back to verse number one, we see that the revelation came from God to Christ to show His servants. Who are the servants? Well, the word here describes the servants of God as to their spiritual, moral, and ethical conditions. And the servants are defined in verse number three. And hopefully those servants are you and I. Verse number three, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. This is the first blessed, special blessing of Revelation. The servant who reads, hears, and obeys. The first special blessing that we find in the book of Revelation is the servant who reads, hears, and obeys. Notice here the first word in verse number three, blessed. Blessed means spiritually happy from God's perspective. This first blessing here, that the one of the servant who reads, hears, and obeys, is the keynote address of the seven special blessings. It sets the tone for the rest, the other six. Sometimes you hear about a speech that maybe a president is going to make or a designated speaker, and when he begins to give his speech, sometimes the beginning of it is known as the keynote address. What he's going to say at the beginning kind of sets the tone for the rest of the speech. This first special blessing sets the tone for the rest of the six blessings in the book of Revelation. And they're all intertwined in one way or another. You'll see as we go through this. The first special blessing here shows the way for the servants to be blessed. It shows the way for the servants to be blessed. And then the seventh and final blessing shows the final results of following that way. So again, this first special blessing, the servant who reads, hears, and obeys, is the keynote address. And we find three aspects of this first special blessing. First of all, the servant who reads. The servant who reads. This is the only book in the Bible where a special blessing is declared to those who read it. Throughout the rest of the Bible, Genesis up to the book of Revelation, there is no other special blessing declared to the person who reads it. This word reads, according to Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, means to know certainly. To know certainly. And of course, it's this vision is to be read, and it's the Word of God coming from Jesus Christ. Expositor's commentary adds this about this word reads. It says, "No such special blessing was promised on anyone who reads a mere human teaching." In other words, if you read a book by a human author, maybe a novel, maybe it's a history book, whatever it might be, there's no special blessing for reading it. Now, you might gain a certain amount of knowledge and understanding from it, but no special blessing. But there is a special blessing upon the reader of this book. Now, there's two schools of thought about the reader, and it most likely includes both. There's the public reader and the private reader. There were the seven church areas, you know, beginning with Ephesus and going all the way to Laodicea, the seven church areas. And these seven churches were churches on the Roman roads that were a mail route. And when John wrote this particular letter, it was sent to the churches, and then this letter was read to the churches. So the reader of these particular letters to these church areas received a special blessing for reading it. It's something like me reading scriptures to you today. So it can be taken in that sense that the reader received a special blessing. But even beyond that, the word read, the normal meaning of the word, refers to reading for oneself, to learn by reading. So the important part of this is those who are reading it to understand the meaning of it. So the blessing seems to be pronounced on God's servants to encourage them to study the book and to be diligent looking into it. So that's the first aspect, is the reader receives a special blessing. Then the next aspect of the first blessing is the one who hears. The one who hears. And that refers to a hearing of the meaning. A hearing of the meaning, or a message of the voice, the vision that is presented. Look across the page, Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 11. Revelation 2, verse number 11. Jesus Christ says this to the church heirs. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Notice, an ear to hear, and hearing what the Spirit says to the churches. So there's a message to be understood, followed by something to be done, an action. Continuing on. "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." So, one is to hear, to gain a meaning from what is said, and then to apply that in your life by action. And what's the action here? To overcome. Notice the last part of verse number 10, there's a reward. "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death, rather shall receive the crown of life." So hearing the message and applying, doing something, action in your life. Hold your place here in Revelation chapter 1. Put a marker, if you would. And let's go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 9 and 10. Daniel chapter 12. Excuse me, verses 9 and 10. Notice verse number 9. "And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So this particular message that Daniel was receiving, the vision of it was sealed until the time of the end, or the time just before Jesus Christ returns. And notice what will be happening in verse number 10. "Many shall be purified, made white, and refined." This is referring to servants of God that are going to go through certain trials or tribulations, a purification process to purify their character. "But the wicked shall do wickedly." So you got a contrast here. "And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Two paths here. The wicked doing wickedly, going their way. And the other path, the wise who understand, who are listening to the word and applying it in their lives. The Tanakh version of verse number 10 reads, "The knowledgeable shall understand." In other words, those that accumulate knowledge from God's Word, they understand. The ones that are reading and understanding and applying it in their lives. So the contrast here is that the wicked don't understand. They can't follow God's way, but the wise do. And they do walk with God. And that's what a servant does. And we are blessed to have understanding and the knowledge that we have and that God has called us to understand. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, again talking about those who hear the Word and take action and apply it in their lives. Proverbs chapter 8, the second aspect of this first special blessing. Proverbs chapter 8, and we'll be reading verses 33 through 35. Proverbs chapter 8, and verse number 33. Hear instruction and be wise. Now think about that in relation to what we previously have read in the book of Daniel and Revelation. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Now the wicked would disdain the instruction and the understanding. They go down the wrong path, but the wise don't. They go down the right path. Verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me. Again, reflecting back to that first special blessing of Revelation. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Now back up to verse 32. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, or my servants, as we read in Revelation. For blessed are those who keep my ways. And the last part of verse 32 leads us into the third aspect of the first special blessing of Revelation. And that's those who keep the vision of the prophecy. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. We've seen that there's a special blessing on those who reads and understands this particular message. Also those who hear. And now we see in the middle part of verse number 3 of chapter 1, those who keep those things which are written in it. The word keep here, according to Vine's dictionary, means to observe or to give heed to, such as keeping the commandments. So keeping here refers to giving heed to, just like keeping the commandments. So not only do we read and hear the Scriptures, but we must keep the things that are written in the Scriptures as well. We must keep them in our minds, in our affections, and in our actions, and we shall be blessed. Continue to hold your place in Revelation. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. This is one of the favorite areas of Scripture that I like to turn to amongst several. Luke chapter 6, and we'll be reading verses 46 through 48. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus Christ says in verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" What he's talking about here is those that would give lip service to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm following you," but you don't show it in your actions. Verse 47, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them," here's the phrase here that we've been looking at in this special blessing, hearing and doing. "Who hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like." Verse 48, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock." So what Jesus Christ is referring to here is somebody that's hearing his words and truly applying them in their lives. It's like somebody that has a shovel. And instead of just scraping the surface of the earth to put in their foundation, they put hard effort, hard work into it and dig deep to get deep enough so that the foundation can withstand any pressures. And the rock referred to is Jesus Christ and his words. So he's like a man who digs deep. He puts effort and puts the foundation on the rock. And then, middle of the verse, when the flood arose, and the floods signify the trials, the problems that we have in our lives, whether the physical problems and trials or the spiritual ones. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. If we've dug deep in our hearing of God's Word and we apply diligently into our lives, we will be able to resist the storms. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house without a foundation. So this is the one who hears, doesn't take any action, doesn't dig deep in keeping God's Word and applying it in his life. Then what happens? Against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So what we're talking about here, again, hearing. Reading, hearing, and keeping, applying God's Word in our lives. Psalm chapter 111. Psalm chapter 111. I'm spending a little bit more time on this very first blessing because, again, it's the keynote address and it ties in with all the rest of the special blessings, as you'll see as we go along here. Psalm chapter 111 and verse number 10. Psalm 111, verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. Doing the commandments, keeping the commandments, and applying them in our lives. Digging deep and working hard, diligent work. And there's a special blessing for that. I'd like to read what the Life Application Studies Bible says about this section of Scripture that refers to reading and hearing and keeping. This is what it says. The typical news reports, today's news reports, are filled with violence, scandal, and political nagging. And this can be depressing. And many may wonder where the world is heading. God's plan for the future, however, provides inspiration and encouragement because we know that God will intervene in history to conquer evil. The Apostle John encourages the churches to read this book aloud and hear it and apply it in their lives, the things which are written in it, and be assured of the fact that God will triumph. And that's so very, very true. And that's why it's so important for us as servants to be applying this in our lives. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3 again. Hope you held your place there. And let's notice the last part of the verse of the one, this first special blessing of he who reads, hears, and keeps the things written in this prophecy. Notice the last part of verse number 3. For the time is near. The time is near. And the Apostle John is urging his readers to be ready at all times and be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly when these events are going to occur, but we must always be prepared because they will happen quickly and suddenly. And we'll see that this is going to tie in again with these other special blessings. So that's the first special blessing of Revelation. He who reads, hears, and keeps the things written in this prophecy. Special blessing number 2. The dead who die in Christ. The dead who die in Christ. We find this in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. And this is referring to the martyrs. The martyrs who die on behalf of Jesus Christ. The dead who die in the Lord. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 for the second special blessing. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 14, we read, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That's the second special blessing here in Revelation. Now this particular section of Scripture is within a context talking about the beast power that's going to come on the scene just before Jesus Christ returns. We all know about the beast power, that it's going to be not only a religious, but it's going to be a political and economic power as well, controlling this earth just before Jesus Christ returns. Let's back up to verse number 9. Verse number 9, then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. So what's written here in chapter 9 in the first part of verse number 10 is those who would worship the beast and receive his mark are going to receive God's wrath. Now we've taught through the years and in going back to the teachings of Mr. Armstrong that most likely the mark of the beast is going to be Sunday worship. And that the fact that those who do not follow that particular type of worship won't be able to buy and sell. And it'll be the specific sign. Don't know exactly how that's all going to come to place, but God says those that receive this particular mark are going to receive God's wrath. Continuing on, the last part of verse number 10, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. So this is one mark that we do not want to receive. It's not the way that we want to go. Verse number 11, and the smoke of their torment, the ones that receive this mark from the beast, ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night. That's another thing that's applied here, is they can't rest, receive no rest. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Now, there's a contrast here in verse number 12, the opposite of those who receive the mark of the beast. Verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. The saints, or we could add the servants of God. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Notice again where we're seeing these words here, keep and following Christ. Again, reflecting back to that first special blessing. These are the faithful who die in the Lord. Verse number 12, we see the phrase, patience of the saints. This refers to their steadfastness or their endurance during the time of trial. We know about the time that's called the great tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble. It's going to come upon this earth. And there's going to be certain people that are going to go through that trial, those trials. And yet, some of them are going to lose their lives. But there's patience, steadfastness and endurance involved with these particular saints or servants. They're faithful to Christ and they obey the commandments of God despite the fact that the beast power is trying to get them to submit and follow it. Apparently, Satan the devil is going to stir things up so much that this beast power and those that are under it are going to murder people and pursue after those who try to obey and serve God. So there are certain ones that are going to go through this, unfortunately. Notice here in verse number 13, the middle of the verse, it says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. That phrase, from now on, is persecution associated with the beast. Those who begin to go through those particular trials and troubles. Notice the phrase here, as we continue to read, it says, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. What are the labors of these saints, these martyrs? Well, the trials and the tribulations that they have to go through. That's their labors, their spiritual labors in endurance and patient faith that they have. Remember the contrast we read in verse number 11. The worshippers of the beast are unable to rest day and night. They have no rest. But the faithful, they are able to rest from their labors. Notice also here in the last part of verse number 13 that their works follow them. What are the works that follow them? That's the character that's been built up. They've been following God, not following the beast power. They have character that's been built up. And through their lives, the spiritual work that they have done. And God takes note of it, and their works follow them. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but put down in your notes, if you'd like, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10, where it says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward His name. God won't forget your labor that you have put, the spiritual character that you have built up. And the ones who die in the Lord are going to have their works. Their character is going to follow them. It's a special blessing that we find here in the book of Revelation. Number three, the third special blessing is the watchful disciple. The watchful disciple. We find that in Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. Revelation 16 and verse 15, the third special blessing, the watchful disciple. We read in verse 15, "Behold, I am coming as a thief." A thief tries to catch you off guard. "Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Notice the phrase here in verse number 15, "he who watches." That is a warning to his church, to God's church, to his servants, to be prepared, because the great trial upon this earth is going to come suddenly and unexpectedly. And the watchful disciple is ready. Hold your place again here in Revelation 16, and let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 1. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord, the time just before Jesus Christ returns, is going to come like a thief. And a thief tries to catch you off guard. He'll come when you're not expecting it. And that's what the admonition here is from the Apostle Paul. Verse 3, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." Verse 4, "But you, brethren," or we could put in "you who are servants, you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." We're not walking in darkness. We're walking in God's light. And we're ready and we're watchful. And the watchful disciple is a blessed disciple. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 16. In verse number 15, hope you held your place there. Notice in the middle of the verse, it says, "Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments." What does that phrase, "keeps his garments," mean? Well, that means to be spiritually clothed, to be ready with the spiritual armor of prayer and study, all the things that we need to do to be spiritually ready, so that we will not be surprised or ashamed, as it says the last part of the verse. Because one who is not watching and one who is not spiritually clothed will walk naked and they see his shame. Hold your place again here in Revelation 16. Let's go to Mark 13. Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, and we'll be reading verses 32 through 37. Mark 13, verse number 32. Of course, Mark 13 is the companion chapter to Mark chapter 24, where Jesus Christ was asked by the disciples some of the specific signs of his imminent return. This is some part of that answer that he gave towards the end of chapter 13. In verse 32 we read, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." So here's the admonition from Jesus Christ to always be on guard and watching. Then he adds this in verse 34, "It is like a man going to a far country," and Jesus Christ is the one that went to a far country, went to be with the Father until the Father would have him return. "It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." So the faithful servants are going to be watching and be ready to be doing their work. Verse 35, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning." Could at any time of the day be ready. Lest, verse 36, "coming suddenly, he find you sleeping." And he's referring to being sleeping spiritually here. Don't go to sleep spiritually. Verse 37, "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." And that's what a disciple will be doing, a servant. And there's a special blessing for being a watchful disciple. Expositor's commentary says, "Those who worship and serve the Lamb must be constantly vigilant, lest their loyalty be diverted through satanic deception." Satan will try to deceive us. He'll try to turn us away. And we must be watchful. Matthew chapter 24. The other section of Scripture of the answers that Christ gave to the disciples of the end of the age and His imminent return. Matthew chapter 24. Notice verse 24. Matthew 24, 24. "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Even the elect can be deceived by false prophets and their signs and wonders. That's why we must be vigilant and watching. Verse 43. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Verse 46. "Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing." So doing. Not only watching, but keeping his garments. Being spiritually clothed and ready. That's the third special blessing of Revelation. Number four, the fourth special blessing, is those servants who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those servants who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We find that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 9, which refers to the great messianic banquet. Revelation 19 and verse number 9. "Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God." The great messianic banquet. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this particular one because I gave a whole sermon on this particular topic a little over a year ago, I believe it was. But remember that the banquet that's referred to here is the marriage supper in the kingdom. And the marriage supper in the kingdom is a time of joyous rejoicing and feasting that we will have and participate with Jesus Christ, those who are called, who overcome and reign with Jesus Christ. A time of joyous feasting to be enjoyed by His servants. Let's go to hold your place in Matthew chapter 19, and let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. The first part of Matthew chapter 8 is the section of Scripture talking about the centurion, the Roman centurion who had a sick servant, and he called for Jesus Christ and said that if Christ just speaks the word, I know that my servant will be healed. And he had such great faith that he just said, "Christ, you say the word, and I know that he will be healed." And then Christ refers to this in Matthew chapter 8, and let's pick it up in verse number 10. Verse number 10, "When Jesus heard it," the faith of this centurion, "when he heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And that'd be great for God to say that about us as servants following Him. I've not found such great faith. That person, that man, that woman has that kind of faith. Verse number 11, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west." That's referring to all ends of the earth, from the eastern parts and the western parts. "And sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." This phrase here, "sit down," is referring to sitting down at a meal, sitting down at the great supper, that those who are invited to it, and they'll be sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you imagine that? And what a scene that will be, and how great that will be. And that's the special blessing that the followers, the servants of God, receive. Eating and sitting down at a meal, this great supper, the marriage supper, is symbolic of a restored relationship with God. I'm not going to go into it in great deal, but you know the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, through Satan's influence, they ate of the wrong fruit. And when that eating broke the relationship with God. They ate of the wrong fruit, broke the relationship with God, and mankind has been suffering for 6,000 years. Sitting down and eating with Jesus Christ at the marriage supper symbolizes a restored relationship with God. The relationship that was broken by Adam and Eve will be restored by eating and drinking and feasting at the marriage supper of the Lamb with Jesus Christ. And that's a special blessing for a servant of God. That's blessing number four. Number five, the servant who shares in the first resurrection. The servant who shares in the first resurrection. And we find that in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 6. Revelation chapter 20. And verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Notice there's an added emphasis in this. Not only is the servant blessed, but he's also called holy, the one who has part in the first resurrection. Continuing on, over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God in Christ. So here's another added emphasis, being priests with God in Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Part of sharing in the first resurrection is reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Hold your place here in Revelation chapter 20, and let's go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. Revelation 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Notice here again we have some tie-in with some of the other special blessings. We find he that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, the patient endurance of the saints, to him I will give power over the nations. Chapter 3 and verse 21. Chapter 3, 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Part of the special blessing of those who share in the first resurrection is to rule with Jesus Christ, and specifically those who are overcomers, those who are hearing and reading and applying and keeping the things of God's Word and applying it in their lives. And digging deep, I will add, putting forth the effort. Continue to hold your place in Revelation. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Let's begin reading in verse number 9. Daniel 7. In verse number 9 we read, I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. This is a description of Jesus Christ on his throne. Then let's drop down to verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints, or we could put in here the servants, the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. The saints to possess the kingdom. Verse 27. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So the saints, part of this special blessing is to be ruling with Jesus Christ and to be helping him in the rule. Those who have part of the first resurrection. One more scripture relating to this special blessing, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. This is a scripture that we read most of the time when somebody has died in the faith, one of our faithful members. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ. It's a special blessing to hear that trumpet call and to come forward from the grave and rise and to meet Jesus Christ in the air. William Barclay adds this. For them, these special ones, for them death has been utterly conquered. The second death has no power over them. Physical death for them is not a thing to be feared, for it is the gateway to everlasting life, those who share in the first resurrection. Number six, the sixth special blessing in Revelation, those who keep the words of the prophecy. Those who keep the words of the prophecy. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And verse number 7. Revelation 22 and verse number 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy of this book. Like the first special blessing, this one is directed at those who keep or obey the words of the prophecy. And it reflects back to the first blessing. The Amplified Bible of verse number 7, the Amplified version reads like this. Behold, I am coming speedily. Blessed is he who observes and lays to heart and keeps the truth of the prophecy, the predictions, the consolations, and the warnings contained in this book. So blessed is not only he who keeps, but lays it to heart, the predictions, consolations, and warnings. And as we have seen throughout these special blessings, there's blessing for those who read, those who hear, those who keep, those who are watchful, those who are willing to uphold the truth, and those who are willing to overcome and keep the words of this prophecy. So the person who meditates and reflects upon what's written in this book, in the vision of the book of Revelation, and is prepared, will be blessed. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament adds this. The whole book stands in the framework of the blessing of those who attain to it and keep the blessed revelation of the mysteries of God. It's an important thing to reflect upon and meditate upon what is written in this particular vision. Luke chapter 11. Hold your place again in Revelation, and let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we will be reading verses 27 and 28. Luke 11, and verse 27. In this particular section of Scripture, previously, Jesus Christ is condemning those who, or actually, people were condemning him, saying that he was doing things, his miracles, through Satan's help and influence, as it says here, that By demons and Beelzebub, he was casting out other demons, and Jesus Christ answers them and tells them how he does do his miracles. And in verse 27, we pick it up, and it says, "And it happened as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts which nursed you.'" So as Jesus Christ was explaining these things, this woman yelled out and said, "You're blessed, and blessed is the woman who bore you." And notice what Jesus says in verse 28. But he said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." That's who are really blessed, and those who keep God's word and keep the words of the prophecy. Another special blessing upon the servants. Finally, let's go back to the book of Revelation. Number 7, the seventh special blessing is those who keep the commandments. Those who keep the commandments. And we find that in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22 verse 14. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the great gates into the city. So just as the first special blessing was the keynote address and set the tone for the rest of the special blessings, this is the final summary statement of all the special blessings, those that keep the commandments. Let's back up to verse number 10. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 11, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. We're going to see a contrast here now. There's one way of life, the filthy way, the wicked way, continuing on. But he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Two ways of life, going away from God or following God and walking with God. Verse number 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. To his work, in the diligent work, I will add, of following and keeping the word. Christ says, I'm coming quickly. And that reflects back to the watchful pilgrim who's always ready and spiritually clothed. He says, I have my reward with me according to one's work, according to their spiritual walk. And then the work is summed up in verse 14, and the reward is stated. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. Adam and Eve went the wrong way, and they lost access to the tree of life because they followed Satan's way. But the followers, the servants, who are keeping God's word and following and doing His work, will have access to the tree of life. And not only that, as it says the last part of verse 14, that they may enter into the gates into the city of New Jerusalem that will come down from heaven, where Jesus Christ and God will be living at that time upon this earth. So it's a special reward for those who keep the words of the prophecy and keep the commandments. Proverbs chapter 11. One more scripture as it relates to keeping the commandments here. This special blessing. Proverbs chapter 11. And we'll be looking at verse 30, the first part, and also verse 31. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse number 30. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous, those that are following God's commandments and His way of life, have access to the tree of life. Verse 31, if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? In other words, there's a reward for following and walking with God, a righteous reward of being like God and becoming eventually a part of His family. But the wicked go down the wrong path, and they receive their reward as well. So the seventh special blessing is those who keep His commandments. Finally, let's go to Psalm chapter 65. Psalm chapter 65, the final scripture here today. We began this message asking in the psalm, who can approach God and who can dwell in His holy place? Who can come before His presence? Let's finish it up again here in Psalm chapter 65 of those who will be able to stand before God's presence. Psalm chapter 65, verse number 2. O you who hear prayer, talking about God, to you all flesh will come. And that will happen eventually, according to God's plan, that He will give all mankind an opportunity to stand before Him and to offer them a chance of salvation. Verse number 4. Blessed is the man you choose. You choose, the one that you call, your servants, to follow your way of life. And cause to approach you that he may dwell in your courts. And we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. This particular section of Scripture is picturing the gathering of all of mankind into a relationship and walking with God, to dwell in his courts with him forever. And there's a special blessing for those who do dwell with God. A special spiritual blessing for his servants, the called out ones. God is the source of all of our blessings. And we should be thankful for all that he has given to us. Abundant physical blessings. But also, we should be thankful for the special calling he's given to us. The spiritual blessings. We've been called to a special calling to walk with God and to grow in the fruits of the Spirit and to become like our Savior, Jesus Christ. For reading, for understanding, and keeping the Word of God, we are promised a special blessing, access to the tree of life, and to live as part of the God family forever and ever. That is a special blessing. And we should always be so very thankful.